Today, Pastor Ray Bentley speaks of the humility of Joseph when Pharaoh wanted him to interpret a dream.
All the 30-year-old Joseph would say is, I got nothing. I can't tell you because it's not about me. It's about God. God gives dreams, and he's the only one that can fulfill the dreams. I'm merely his servant. I'll ask him, but I assure you of this, when he gives you the answer, and he does have the answer, it will be for you peace.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When teenage Joseph revealed his dreams to his brothers, they were so incensed they sold him into slavery. Years later, Joseph's ability to interpret the Pharaoh's dream, with God's help, saved Joseph from prison and ultimately saved Joseph's brothers from death. Today we'll learn more.
Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 41. In many ways, the whole story of Joseph really kind of comes together, finally, in this particular chapter. It says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So now 11 years of slavery have been followed by 2 years of prison, that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And then, behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then, behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them, and the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Now verse 9, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. And I was there with the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night. And he and I, and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, there was a young foreigner Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream, and it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. In other words, what he said for me happened, what he said for the baker happened. He restored me to my office, and then the other guy got hanged. It happened, it was true. And when he said that, Pharaoh went, that's exactly what I've been waiting to hear. I need that guy. I need to know this dream. I know this dream is divine. I need somebody that's got insight into divine interpretation of a divine dream. Verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph for such a time as this, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And then notice, and he shaved and changed his clothing and came to Pharaoh. Now, let me mention a little, you know, so easily we read through the scriptures and go, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. He was in prison and they didn't have shaving or whatever. It's a little bit more than that. This is a cultural difference. Hebrews had beards. For whatever reason, culturally, Egyptians oftentimes did not have the same kind of, you know, wild beards. If they did have, it would be like cone-shaped or in some other fashion. It was a noticeable difference. So when they get Joseph, they go, you can't go before the king like this. You stink to high heaven. So they washed him, they clothed him, they gave him new clothes, they shaved his face, and he's now clean shaven to be presented before the king. Notice they take a Hebrew and make him look like an Egyptian, which means he has to walk like, look like, sound like a Gentile while still being a Hebrew. Now, the reason that's important is because down the road, God has a big meeting with his Hebrew family. And when the Hebrew family, because of the famine extends to their land, come and they see their brother, they don't recognize him. Even though he's a Hebrew, even though he's a Jew, he looks like, to them, as Jews, a Gentile. Therefore, they're lost and they're confused. And then there comes a day of a dramatic revelation. The guy that is now ruling the whole world that they thought was a Gentile is actually a Jew. In fact, he's even more than that. He's family. In fact, he's even more than that. He's their brother. And it's going to be a very powerful meeting when that all comes together. By the way, that's what the world's getting set up for right now. That's why Joseph is like Jesus and Jesus is like Joseph. It's going to be an incredible time. Verse 15, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. Now look at what Joseph says. This is very telling. So Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And I think what is striking, you know, when you're reading a devotion, you kind of just read through it really fast, but I want to take just a moment and have you look at verse 16 and compare that statement with 17-year-old Joseph. The difference between 17-year-old Joseph and 30-year-old Joseph. If this was 17-year-old Joseph, he would have said, yeah, man, I got dreams myself about ruling and reigning. Let me tell you all about it. And yeah, what's your dream? I'll tell you what it is. Mm-mm. After 11 years of being a slave, after 2 years of being a prisoner, Joseph and being rejected and almost killed, sold into slavery, betrayed by his own family, hasn't seen his brothers or his dad for all those years, literally, Joseph, the man of God, has had the stuffings beat out of him. And all the 30-year-old Joseph would say is, I got nothing. I can't tell you because it's not about me. But I'll tell you what it is about. It's about God. God gives dreams. And he's the only one that can fulfill the dreams. And God gives the interpretation of dreams. He is in charge of the dreams. I'm merely his servant. I'll ask him, but I assure you of this, when he gives you the answer, and he does have the answer, it will be for you peace. Man, to a Pharaoh, God's word to you, he'll bring peace with it if you receive his word. Powerful. This man had that iron we talked about worked into his soul, character. There is a, it's, you know, when he was young, it was all about him. Now, it's all about God, period. And then Pharaoh, he doesn't know Joseph, and he doesn't know the story, and he doesn't know the difference between 17-year-old Joseph and 30-year-old Joseph. He's just kind of like, what? Okay, well, anyway, back to my dream. So that's what he does in verse 17. Behold, my dream. I stood in the bank of the river. Suddenly, seven cows came up out of the river, fine-looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And then, behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt. Such ugliness as I'd never seen in all the land of Egypt. He throws in that little detail. Ugly cows. Do you understand me, Joseph? Ugly cows. Gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. And when they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So they ate all the cows, but they weren't any fuller. So I awoke. Also I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came up on one stalk, full and good. And then behold, seven heads, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. None of them knew what it meant. And I love this. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. He doesn't wait. He doesn't hesitate. I believe that Joseph was praying. As Pharaoh is giving the dream, he's praying, O Spirit of the living God, the one true God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please tell your servant the meaning of these dreams, that I might deliver it to Pharaoh. And as soon as Pharaoh started sharing the dream, Joseph started downloading the understanding. Ah, I get it. I know what that is. Seven, okay. He got it. The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Here's the servant of God saying, God that created everything, he just told you what's coming in the next 14 years. Why? Because he loves you and he loves the Egyptians, and you are responsible for millions of people's lives that he cares about. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows, which came after them, are 7 years. And the seven empty heads, blighted by the east wind, are 7 years of famine. So in other words, you're gonna have, this is what he's telling you, the seven fat cows, you're gonna have the seven most prosperous, economically huge years you have ever seen, which will be immediately followed by the seven worst economic years, as well as famine, that Egypt has ever seen. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, because the famine will devour all the prosperity from before, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass. In other words, it's happening, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Now, therefore, now, as soon as he gets done, immediately, there's the interpretation of the dream. Immediately, Joseph is still in a state of hearing and waiting and listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, and God keeps talking and tells him, now that you have revealed to him the meaning of the dreams, what's coming in the next 14 years, I want you to tell him what to do, or what he can do if he'll follow and obey me. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let him keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Wow, he lays out the very plan of what he should do. And I love this. God's concern for the Egyptians is to tell them, here's how you can escape what's coming. So verse 37, notice this. Joseph has just told him a plan. You need a guy that's really smart that can set up your kingdom and collect this 20% tax so that everyone will be saved and spared. And notice that God causes Pharaoh to choose, guess who? Joseph. Verse 37, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? So all these other thousands of guys that are listening going, who is this guy? He's like a nobody. He was a prisoner, and he came out, and he gave exactly what the dream was. Not only did he have the dream, he's got the plan of what we should do. Man, it all makes sense. Everybody, yep, that's what we ought to do. And then the Pharaoh goes, is there anybody that we should appoint other than this guy? And everybody's like, no, that's the guy. So everybody agreed, Joseph's the guy. So Joseph is taken from prison, and he's literally put at the right hand of Pharaoh. And even all of his servants there said, yeah, Joseph's the guy. You should use him, the foreigner, the Hebrew. So God causes Pharaoh to choose Joseph. Now you've got to know, that's the Lord. Talk about a dramatic change. Overnight, he has this spirit about him, and the favor of God is upon him, and that's what God will give to the world. They'll see when there's a man or a woman with the Spirit of God in them and upon them. So in verse 39, it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne that I'm sitting here, will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand. That's the ring that had a little embossing that you would put into the wax And that meant that's the seal of the power of the authority of the Pharaoh himself for government documents. He took his ring off and gave it to Joseph. Here, you run everything. And then he gave him new clothing of fine linen, and then he put a big gold chain around his neck that nobody else in the kingdom had to let everybody know, Joseph is my guy. He is representing me for all of Egypt. And then on top of that, verse 43, he had him ride in the second chariot. So he's in this fancy, new, Egyptian, fire engine red chariot, hair blowing in his wind, and then he has an entourage of people that go all around him as he goes down the main thoroughfare of Pharaoh's kingdom, yelling at all the thousands who want to meet the new guy who's ruling in Egypt, and they scream at the people by multitude, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee. I wonder if Joseph stood there kind of like, this is really weird. And now, how could he not have remembered at 17, having dreams from God that there will be people bowing down to you? And now, Egypt is bowing down to him. I wonder what's going to happen with my brothers, with my mother and father. But you know what? I think when Joseph saw all of that, I don't think he was like into, wow, they're bowing down to me. It's a different Joseph. I think Joseph is in absolute awe of God. He's going, these are Egyptians, pagans, idol worshipers. They don't know beans about anything. And they're bowing down because I, as God's representative, have shown the future and that God loves them and has given them a plan, and they're going to follow my counsel so that they'll survive. And you know what? God brought the whole nation developed of Israel inside of Egypt so that finally when God raised up another guy named Moses with signs and wonders and power, the Egyptians dropped their idols and a vast mixed multitude went with the children of Israel into the wilderness. They said, we want that God of fire and the pillar and the cloud. He's the only true God. God saved all these Egyptians. All these Gentiles mingling with all of these Jews, making one new family. That was God's plan all along. And so, verse 45, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. So he gave him a Gentile name. He gave him an Egyptian name, which is interesting. Personally, I like Joseph better than Zaphnath-Paneah, but I want you to look at, in your notes, I put down what the name in Egyptian, Zaphnath-Paneah, is translated as. This is the name and the various meanings of it that was given to Joseph. His name means abundance of life, or savior of the world, or revealer of secrets, or God's word speaking life, or the furnisher of sustenance. These meanings can all be taken as descriptions of Jesus Christ himself, of whom Joseph is merely a type of the one to come. And so he gave him his wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old, just like Jesus, when he rose from the dead, and he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly, and so he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, which means to forget. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. His two sons tell Joseph's testimony. God has let me forget the years of slavery and the years of prison. Doesn't mean that he didn't remember them, but the pain he removed. That's God's promise to all of you who trust in Jesus Christ. You'll have the memories, but the sting and the pain of them he can remove. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You can forget the past. And then he will doubly make you fruitful. for the rest of your life. Exceeding abundantly above all you could ask, hope, think, dream, or imagine. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, just like Jesus. You're starving for bread of life? Jesus is the bread of life. The famine was all over the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt, so all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. And so let's look at, very quickly, three life lessons. First, we will be tested, then the triumph. I think most of us like, hey, could we just triumph in the beginning and then test our way through the rest of it? So it doesn't work that way. So read with me 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Nobody reigns without suffering. And so that's part of God's purpose and part of God's plan. The second thing to discuss is the path to being lifted up is through humbling ourselves. You don't have to just wait for life to humble you. Humble yourself so that you get to humility before you have to be humbled, and you're already there. Ha, beat you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Jesus made, let's read it, himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And then the last one, cast all your cares. I mean, 13 years of slavery in prison is a long time. That's a lot of cares. What do we do with our cares? Cast all of your cares upon him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great insight and encouragement today from chapter 41 of Genesis, here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for I Have a Dream. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Just mention the title, I Have a Dream. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Genesis on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And then we want to make sure you know about Pastor Ray's new book. It's called The Holy Land Key. It's an eye-opening look at Bible prophecy, but it goes deeper than what you've read before.
It is an examination of prophecy that goes beyond the clock on the wall and speculative timelines. You will meet the people the Old Testament prophets actually saw in the future and learn the historical context of prophecy and experience the journey of suffering and triumph lived by God's people over the centuries.
The title is The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. You'll see how God's master plan is revealed in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray reveals significant prophetic patterns discovered in the lunar cycle. Dr. David Jeremiah says of the book, "While on vacation, I had the privilege to read Ray Bentley's book on Israel. I am not a stranger to the Holy Land, having been there many times, but I learned so many things about Israel and God's people that I did not know. The book reads like an adventure story. It causes you to look over your shoulder at God's continued blessing upon his people and to look forward to the many prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. When you are finished with this read, you will want to book a tour of Israel. Get a copy for yourself. It's called The Holy Land Key. Available now at our online store at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Genesis. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.